You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, get them out, and I'll tell you to turn somewhere in a minute. I'm just going to tread water for a little bit here. I'm probably going to wind up in Mark, the second chapter. No guarantees, but we're probably going to wind up there. And I'm going to quote a lot of scripture, obviously, you know how I do. But I want to talk about the need for miracles, or the supernatural, we'll say. And this is not an attack on any church. We're pro-church. I love churches, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost. I've listed many of them, and we're for church. But churches do seem to emphasize some things more than others, and some de-emphasize. And I think we have, sadly so, de-emphasized miracles, miraculous healings and supernatural manifestations of God, gifts of the Spirit. In some churches, and they're still saved, and they still love Jesus, and we're not A-rate and they're B-rate. We're all rate in Jesus, amen? We're all important. But I think we've kind of emphasized parts of Jesus instead of all of Jesus. Jesus is a Savior, but He's not just a Savior. He's also a healer. Are you with me? Jesus is a peace giver, but He's not just a peace giver. Are you with me? Are you out there?
Yes.
He is love. He loves us. So we can just take one aspect and just preach that, and that gives a picture, maybe not a full picture, but enough, obviously, that you can get saved and go to heaven, and that's the most important thing. Nothing more important than that. But it's interesting, if you look at Jesus and walk with Him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he didn't emphasize one thing above another. He just put it all together, and that's what Jesus was. Jesus preached forgiveness, and He preached healing, and He preached miracles, and are you with me? And He rose from the dead, and the apostles came along, and they preached a fuller picture of Jesus. In fact, we often hear that term, full gospel churches, meaning that we preach maybe a fuller gospel, not to slam other churches, not to demean other churches. It's just that we do emphasize, you know, in Pentecostal, charismatic, you know, word of faith, whatever you labels. I hate labels because they're never accurate. Are you with me? We do preach a supernatural involved miracle working healing Jesus, along with the saving Jesus and forgiving Jesus and you know, the new birth and forgiveness and holy living and all those things. But I think we do an injustice when we don't allow those things and we don't emphasize those things at all, because it's hard to represent a supernatural God without supernatural manifestations. Now, if you took miracles out of Buddhism, you wouldn't have a problem, because there are no miracles in Buddhism. If you took miracles out of the Muslim faith, you'd have no problem, because there are no miracles in the Muslim faith. Muhammad did no miracles. Are you with me? And Buddhist was more of a philosophy than a religion anyway, and it has no place for miracles. But you cannot take miracles out of Christianity. It's utterly impossible. I mean, just the fact to admit God first, you've already admitted the supernatural, a creator. And then you get into the New Testament, goodness gracious, the virgin birth, are you with me? The resurrection. These are paramount miracles that we all believe in the Christian faith. But there's a lot of others in between. So to admit God is to already have stepped into that room of the supernatural. If you're born again, that's a supernatural thing. If you've been saved and washed in the blood, that's a supernatural thing. That's a miracle already. Are you out there? So we admit miracles when we admit God, and so we must admit the possibility of miracles when we admit God, because He's still God and He hadn't changed. Chris just quoted that scripture, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, He hasn't changed.
That's right.
We're not serving there never was a day of miracles. They're just a God of miracles. And He has not changed. So whatever He did then, He still does now.
Right.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wasn't a healer. He is a healer. He wasn't a Savior. He is a Savior.
Right.
He wasn't a peace giver. He is a peace giver. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I just preached myself happy and amen myself today. Hallelujah. So I think we need the supernatural. I think you can overemphasize anything. I mean, you could overemphasize the gifts. You could overemphasize, you know, you could overemphasize just forgiveness, and that's all you teach. You don't teach anything else. That would be imbalanced. Are you with me? And you could overemphasize the new birth, being saved, and preach being saved every day, every single service, when everybody out here is already saved. And we need to move on and grow. Are you with me? You have new people coming all the time. We give invitations. But we need to be more well-rounded and balanced, as it were. I think sometimes we have need of milk instead of meat because we're not ready, but that's our fault. And Paul talked about you know, preaching things to them that they were not able to hear. Jesus said the same thing. So let's grow. Let's just grow in grace. Let's get the whole message. Amen. There really is going to come a time when you're going to need a miracle. There's going to come a time you're going to need a healing. And God is in the healing business. Thank God. Thank God for doctors and medicine and surgery and all that man can do so we can get well. Thank God for healing because God's a healer too. Are you out there? So it's only reasonable to believe in miracles if you're a Christian, because that's, goodness, you take the creation out, the flood out, the virgin birth out, the resurrection out, the new birth. You know, all these are miracles, miraculous things. And we are Christians. We're not Buddhist. Amen?
Amen.
We're not Muslims. Hallelujah. I love it. One time I was meditating on the sixth chapter of Matthew, and I think it was G.K. Chesterton I was reading, and he made this statement about, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. And that chapter is about how that God will supply our needs. Like he feeds the sparrows, he'll feed us. Like he clothes the lilies, he'll clothe us. And he said, after these things the Gentiles do seek, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Not that you have to make an either or choice, but if you choose God, God will take care of you. So you're worried about all that stuff, and what you need to do is just trust God. And he said, Buddha would have said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and nothing else matters. God said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And he said, remember, we're not Buddhists, we're Christians. Anyway.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody. Thank you, Ray. Praise the Lord. But see, if you go through all this, Jesus, miracles are a big part of Jesus' ministry. And I say miracles in a broad sense, okay? Because if you think of, technically, healing is healing, and a miracle is beyond that. Multiplying fish would be a miracle. Okay, a cripple walking, well, that would be a healing. And I think when we're praying, and God understands if we get the two words a little mixed up, sometimes we're praying for a healing, we really need a miracle. The woman been over 18 years in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, that Jesus walked up and says, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. That probably was more of a miracle than a healing, because there wasn't any healing going to take place there. There just wasn't enough. You couldn't naturally even make that happen. There weren't enough, you know, discs to fuse and bones to bend. So it probably would have taken a miracle for her. But in many cases, you know, there were healings and there were miracles. Even the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:8, 9, and 10, where it lists the nine gifts. It says, to one is given the gifts of healings, to one is given the work in a miracle. So there's a distinction between the two. Y'all catch that? But I'm using it in a broad sense. I just want to say that right up front. To include miracles, include healings, anything supernatural. And if you know, Jesus did miracles. He did healing. And if you know, he told his disciples to go do the same thing. So he wanted a full representation of God. So God's a real God, and he's a supernatural God. And you cannot separate that from Jesus and his ministry. There are people in Jesus' day didn't believe in miracles, just like there are in our day. There are churches today that believe it has passed away, and they are, if they believe in Jesus, they're saved and they're going to heaven, and they're our brothers and sisters. Are you with me? So we're not critical of them. We're just talking about a doctrine. That's all we're talking about here. And they've been taught that, and they believe that, and they still love God, and they're fine people. Are you with me? You can trust them to babysit your kids, and, you know, nothing. Are you out there? Okay. We're just dealing with what the Scripture teaches here. Miracles make sense. They're reasonable. Come on. I mean, how reasonable it is to pursue getting healthy and getting well. Most of them might go into having cataract surgery. Why? Because, you know, there's something wrong with his eyes. Eyes with cataracts are not right. Legs that are crippled are not right. Eyes that can't see, not right. You know, when you're sick, you're not right. You're not well. You're not okay. Those are all words we use. And we seek to get better. And we seek to get on the other end of it. I'm on my upswing. I'm doing better. I'm well. I'm okay. Those are words we use when we're not sick. So we know more than we think we do. We're smarter than we think we are. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
And we do everything we can to get well through known medicine, known surgery. And if there's any way we get better, we get better. Amen? Because we know that. Come on. And all Jesus did, when you think about healings and miracles, biblically, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, the streets of Capernaum, and healed the sick, and raised the dead, and cast out devils, and cripples walked, and blind eyes opened. All he did was fix things. That's all he did. I mean, these aren't turning pumpkins into coaches and mice into, you know, coachmen. These aren't fairy tale miracles. These miracles fit. They have the scent and the aroma of the Creator. I mean, when he opens eyes, those eyes see like yours and mine do. And when he heals crippled legs, they walk just like yours walk, mine walk. And there's nothing really miraculous when it's all over. Those things just restore and make things back the way they're supposed to be. When the dead are raised, they're alive like you and I are. Are you with me? When the leopard's cleansed, his skin is clean and whole like yours is and mine is. So really, these are restorative things. They're not some weird intrusion or some sci-fi move by God. No, this is God actually making things right and fixing things that are messed up. And there's the rub, isn't it? You know, we think sometimes that God made us sick and did this to us, but actually what's wrong with us is the world we're living in, not God. The world is fallen. I don't know if you figured that out or not. It's in the Bible. The world is broken. We're in sin. It all goes back to Adam. And sin entered the earth through Adam. By man came death, and death by sin. Romans 5:12 tells us that. God didn't bring death into the world, and he didn't bring sin into the world. It started with our daddy, Adam. Are you with me? Unless, of course, we've been born again, we've got a new daddy. Now he's not our daddy anymore. We're not in Adam anymore. We're in Christ. Woo! Are you with me? But think about this. When God came down here and began to move, Jesus began to fix things and multiply food, and he began to heal people, he just began to put things back right. He just began to fix things. When he forgave people, their sin messed them up, but then when they were forgiven, they were made whole or holy. That's where that word comes from. You know, whole physically or holy spiritually. That's all. When you live right, you know what? You're getting whole again. That's it. You're just getting whole, holy. See, when you're healed, you're made whole. Whole again. Because sickness makes us incomplete. There's something wrong with us. Are you with me? It's not a sin to be sick. Not a sin to be poor. I'm not saying that at all. I think it's a sin to want to stay there. And by all means, you ought to try to get better. And you know how men are hard-headed about that. They don't go to the doctor. They don't take, you know, and the wives are beating them on the head and saying, what's wrong with you? Go down there and get fixed. You know, because it is wrong not to want to get fixed, not to get well. Are you with me? It's just we don't always include God into the picture. You know, we include medicine. We look for some way, some pill to take, some surgery or something. And we ought to be praying and praying if we go to surgery and praying if we take medicine, believing that everything will take effect. We pray for successful surgery. Amen? Amen. We're for doctors. We're for medicine. We're for surgery because we're for healing. We are for health. You know, you don't... If you're believing God to be healed, you know, your eyes to be healed, or believing God for your legs to, if you're having to use crutches and believing God for your legs to be healed, we're not saying throw your crutches away or break your glasses. That's not about what healing's about. Are you with me? Healing's about trusting God. The Bible doesn't say throw your glasses away and your eyes be healed. It says trust me and your eyes be healed. You'll get to where you can't see out of your glasses. But until that happens, you keep them on as you're driving around on these streets for my kids and my grandkids, please. And the same thing with the crutches, you know, use them until you don't need them. And keep believing you're healed and thanking God for your healing. Take the medicine or the surgery, whatever you're doing. But I think we've gotten confused about this thing. It's almost into works, isn't it? It's kind of like under law. We got to do something to get it. No, you got to believe to get it. Mm-hmm. Throwing the crutches away won't heal you and breaking your glasses won't heal you. Okay. It'll be evident when it happens. Throwing your medicine away won't heal you. You know, well, I'm believing to be healed. I'm going to throw my medicine. I'm just going to believe God. Well, you know, you weren't doing so good up to this point. Why don't you build your faith and check your symptoms, and maybe you can cut your medicine down little by little by little by little where you won't need it. But if you're not getting results, just keep taking the medicine until you do. I'm not helping anybody. Amen. Okay. Because same thing, if you're believing God for finances, you don't go write a check when you don't have money in the bank. That's right. You call that a faith check. We call that a hot check. Okay. But pray over your bank account, fine. Believe God to prosper you, fine. You know, let's use wisdom, but goodness gracious, don't go crazy with this thing. Yeah. All right. Now, Mark, where did I tell you to turn to? Mark?
You didn't.
I didn't? Okay, good. Turn to Mark 3. Let's just look at an instance here. I'm just giving you some ideas and to think about, you know, when we talk about miracles and establish the, you know, ground rules here. And it's not, think about it, it's not that, you know, we often hear about prayer moving God. Prayer doesn't move God. Prayer does, it doesn't affect him one bit or another. It moves you. That's what it does. It puts you in position. You know, when you pray, you don't turn God on. He's already on, okay? But you're off. And so when you pray, you get in position to receive from God, who's moving all the time. He's always, you don't make God a healer when you pray for healing. He's already a healer. You don't make God a savior when you call on him to save you. He's already a savior. He's already saving. It's just you weren't where you need to be. You weren't calling on him and believing him. Are you with me? And so when we talk about these things, we're talking about us getting in position. Amen? And for God to do something. We're not manipulating God. You don't have God in a box. You're not pushing buttons and pulling levers and making him do anything. I always liken it to, if you could imagine God moving down this aisle, constantly moving down this aisle, he's always going to move down this aisle. He's always going to be who he is. He's always going to do what he wants. He hopes you get over here out of that seat and get in that aisle. He's calling you to get in the aisle. He's saying, come to me. But when you get up, you don't move him. You move you. You move your position of focus, your position of faith, your belief changes. You start focusing on him, believing him, and you're pulled over here. You don't turn on the spout where the glory comes out. It's on. You just get under it. Make sense? And so we need to understand that faith is not moving God around. We don't, you know, we're not controlling him and making him do. Are you kidding? You're not going to change God. God is the Lord God. He changes not. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves you and he's for you and he already wants to heal you. You don't have to convince him of it. He already wants to save you. Actually, he's already done everything you need to be saved. He did it 2,000 years ago. And the same God that saved you 2,000 years ago bore stripes on his back that you might be healed 2,000 years ago. Are you with me? To him, see, he bore our sins on the cross, on the tree, that we being dead to sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. So we got the sin part, we just kind of hadn't emphasized the healing part. You know what Psalms 103 verse 1 starts out saying? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the Lord. And then it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And then the third verse says, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Well, we kind of forgot that part. And we're strong on preaching forgiveness, and we should, but we're not so strong on the supernatural aspect of that, are we? And when Jesus sent the disciples out, he didn't send them out just to preach. He sent them out to heal the sick, raise dead, cast out devils, so on and so forth. That's all part and parcel. You know, it's kind of like Brother Osteen used to always say this about being baptized with the Holy Ghost. You know, do you have to speak in tongues to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? And he said, well, you know, they did in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19. And he says, it's kind of like buying a shoe. You know, it's the tongue comes with it. Are you out there? So, you know, healing should come with it. I mean, it just comes with it. We kind of downplayed it, but it's still there. He's still a healer. Amen. He's still a peace giver. Praise God. Aren't you glad? So, I mean, the greatest thing is to be saved. We know that. But you don't have to prioritize this stuff. It's all for you. It's all free and it's all offered. And we need to forget not all his benefits. Amen. Where did I tell you to turn to? Good. I think I'll turn there. That's good. I always like to say this. If you're ever up preaching a minister and you tell people to turn somewhere, you need to turn there first so there's not a dead pause there while you're turning, you know, and you're having to fill a space here. Mark 3, verse 1. Notice this. Talking about miracles. We're talking about healings. Talking about supernatural manifestations that Jesus did along with his preaching. Remember in Acts where Luke started out, he says, this is a treatise, O Theophilus, of things that Jesus both began to teach and do. I think we teach what he taught, but we don't do what he did. Amen. We emphasize what he said, but we don't emphasize what he did. And we almost think it would be unholy and sacrilegious to do what he did. How could we, how dare we do what Jesus did? When he told his disciples to do it, and he told us to do it, but we have no qualms about saying what he said. Why would it not be sacrilegious to say what he said, and it's sacrilegious to do what he did? Aren't his words just as holy as his deeds? I think they both are, yeah. Mark 1. And y'all don't be so loud. Y'all are, all your amen and is confusing me here. First verse. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Y'all might remember this. And they watched him. Now this is interesting because they knew Jesus. He wasn't your typical traveling rabbi. You know, he wouldn't leave well enough alone. He wouldn't just say things. He'd do things. This guy's liable to heal somebody, raise somebody from the dead, God forbid, in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and mess up everybody right in church. I mean, what in the world did a guy get in church and heal somebody for? That's what one guy got over to. Luke 13, when the woman was bent over and he healed her. The ruler of the synagogue basically said, how dare you? There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Go out there and get healed, not in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Like, that's the last place you want to see God work is in church. Are you out there? That always amazes me, you know. And I'm thinking, well, where would I go see God work? Of course, I should see him everywhere, but obviously I should see him in church too. I mean, come on. Of all places, it ought to be in church. Okay. Anyway. So he's in church, and they watched him because he did that. He was notorious. Jesus was constantly doing this. How dare he? He would heal people in church, in a church service. He would actually believe for someone to get a miracle in church. Did he have no decorum? Come on. I mean, what is wrong with him to break tradition like that? And what about ceremony? What about tradition? What about decorum? Come on, man. I mean, if a guy needs to get healed, he ought to come in here in a suit and a tie and sit there and just behave himself and then go get healed later. Okay. So they watched him. They watched him. Second verse. Whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, if they might accuse him. Not that they'd rejoice about the man getting healed. Not that they would just be jumping up and down and saying, hallelujah, God has visited us, and this man has gotten help that needed help. This man's hand is withered, and now it's whole. Hallelujah. They should be rejoicing. I mean, this should be a shouting service for them. And yet, they were wanting to accuse Jesus in case he did something like that. Because doctrine was more important than people. Are you out there? You know why Jesus healed people? He wasn't trying to prove a point. He would just heal people because he loves people. You know why he healed a blind man? Because he couldn't see. It's not deep. It's not complicated. It really isn't. I know it's hard to swallow, but God really loves people. And he really wants people to be well. And he really hurts when you hurt. He does. You know why he's a peace giver? Because he doesn't like depression any more than you do. You know why he supernaturally visits people when they suffer a loss or a death? And it's just supernatural the way God comforts. And it amazes me. And I've done lots of funerals and dealt with lots of families in a time like that. And I'm amazed how the Spirit of God can move in and just move on and comfort someone that's lost a loved one. And you think, man, how in the world could that, without God, that would be impossible. And they hurt? Sure, they hurt. I got that. But, you know, God still helps them. And he comforts them. And they operate. And they get through that. And they heal up. And why does God do that? Because God actually loves us. And he hurts when we hurt. And he doesn't like death any more than we do. And he didn't kill that mother and that daddy and that husband and that wife and that child. He did not do that. This world did. This world's a mess. We get to heaven, that won't ever happen again. If Adam had never sinned, we wouldn't have all the mess we have today. The Bible's very plain why all that happened. And Jesus didn't come down and kill live people and make sick healed people and blind people that saw. He raised dead people, healed sick people, and gave sight to people that were blind. He didn't even stop storms. He stopped storms. Amen. He didn't make people poor. He gave to the poor. And he said, he that seen me, seen the Father. Are you with me? So everything he did, he was just showing us the Father. He even said, I only do the things I see my Father do. I only say the things I hear my Father say. Wow. So sometimes our concept of God gets a little skewed. You know, we think, and it comes down to the control thing, that we have this idea of God's in control of everything. And he's not. He said he wasn't. He made the earth, but he gave it over to man. And right now man is still down here. And one day God will take it back, but he hadn't done that yet. And the only way he really moves around here down now is through us. Down here now is through us. We are his modus operandi. We are his hands and his feet and his eyes and his ears and his mouth. And if we don't move, he doesn't move. That's why he told us to lay hands on the sick. That's why he told us to love. That's why he told us to pray God's will be done down here as it is in heaven. God never asked you to pray for God's will be done in heaven. Why would he do that? He's up there. You're down here. Heaven's fine. Nobody's sick up there. There are no red bugs, no red fire ants, no chiggers, nothing up in heaven. No, no. There's nothing. No, nothing bad. Think about it. No death, no destruction. You'll never go to another funeral when you get to heaven. Never go to another hospital when you get to heaven. Never. No one gets sick. No one ever dies up there. We're not praying for anybody. We're not supposed to pray for anybody in heaven. Are you with me? We're supposed to pray his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Woo! Because something's wrong down here. Amen? So here was a withered hand that was wrong. And here were the religious crowd, because that's usually what people have trouble with, the religious crowd that watched him to see if he had healed this man, that they might accuse him. And he said to the man, third verse, which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, I love this, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Now, I wonder why. Because they knew the answer to that. It wasn't good to kill, and it wasn't good to do evil. But you should do good, and you should, you know, give life on the Sabbath day. And when he looked around about them with anger, because they did not give a rip about this guy in his hand. They're more interested in their service, the service they were having, and their synagogue than they were the people that were in it. And if we're not careful, we can be that way too. Are you with me? We miss the point. You know, if you want to know the point, you're the point. I'm the point. God wants to help you. He wants to move through you. He wants to use you. He wants to flow through you. You really count. You really do. You're important. I know it's hard to get. It's hard to get wrap a mind around it. But he really does love us. It's not about the world. It's not about the whales. It's not about saving the spotted owls. I'm not saying let's go kill the whales and kill the spotted owls. And I'm not saying pollute the rivers. I think we ought to keep our rivers clean. But I'll tell you what, more than all that, it's about you. God forbid we spend all of our time saving whales and killing babies. Are you kidding me? I mean, we are who this is all about. Everything else is just his creation. Everything else, he is the maker of. He's only the father of us. So we do stand in a different class than all of creation and all the bird world and all the animal world and all the plant world and all of creation, all the rivers and all the volcanoes and mountains and seas. So here he is, you know, Jesus just doing what he does, and he looks at them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth your hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole like the other. Now that would be a miracle, but what did the miracle do? Just made it normal. It restored it. Because that's what miracles do. That's what healings do. They just make things normal. Because you say, well, that's just abnormal. Miracles are just abnormal and healing is just abnormal. That's just kind of like an intrusion, some foreign entity moving about amongst us. No, actually, the intrusion is the sickness and the disease. The malformity is the blindness. And the crippleness, are you with me? And the cataracts, are you with me? If we can fix that, let's fix that, because that's a good thing to fix that. And that's all really that miracles do. They fit. Biblical miracles fit. Biblical healings fit. They make legs that don't walk, walk. They make eyes that don't see, see. They make hands that are withered whole like the other whole. See? So we do need miracles. The only reason we wouldn't need miracles or healings is if everything was already whole and always whole. But you know that's not the case. You know, we have a little sign in our break room that says we don't believe in miracles. We rely upon them. And we do. We need them. And there's coming a day you're going to need one, and I'm going to need one. You're going to need somebody to believe with you, and you're going to need to believe and call on God. And thank God he's there to help us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank God he is in the miracle working business. Hallelujah. Woo! Excuse me for getting stirred up. Y'all are stirring me up by not getting stirred up. I'm getting stirred up. They bear witness to God. Remember in John the second chapter, you don't have to turn to this, but John the second chapter, it said that, he turned the water into wine at Cana of Galilee. That was his first miracle that he did. And it's not too far from Nain, the city of Nain, where he raised that widow's son from the dead later on. Remember the widow of Nain's son? He walked up and raised his son up from the dead. Awesome. Man, another miracle. But it says in John the second chapter, 23rd verse, those people that had followed Jesus and he turned water into wine, it says many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. So they did compel belief. It's kind of hard to deny that when a miracle takes place. Anybody ever had a miracle of healing in your life? Okay. Can't deny that, can you? I mean, you can talk doctrine all day long, you can argue doctrine all day long, but it's hard to argue the fact that I was blind, now I see. You know, and in fact, the crippled man was standing there, they couldn't argue, the guy was standing there. And the blind man, you know, he saw, and you can't argue against that. I always like to say this, that if you want to tell me God didn't heal, it's too late, I've already been healed. Sorry, you got a little late to me. To say he doesn't say, too late, I've already been saved. In fact, there was a song written that says, thank God I received everything, that I got everything I needed from God before I found out what he could not do. So, we've already got it, amen? And in John, where it talks about that, remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in the third chapter? And he was a ruler. He was way up in the hierarchy of the Jewish faith. And he came to Jesus by night probably because he didn't want anybody to see him going over there. I think it was kind of an incognito thing, meeting. He didn't want everybody to know. And he came by night to meet Jesus. And he says, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God because no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Think about it. So miracles do confirm. They witness to God. And that's why Jesus told disciples to go heal the sick, raise dead, cast out devils, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. In other words, that would testify. Paul, when he went to, it's in Romans where he says this, he talked about when he went up into Galatia, in the region of Galatia, present-day Turkey. He went up to Iconia, Lystra, Derbe. Remember, he was stoned at Lystra and left for dead, and God raised him up, and he would continue to preach, and he went back through those cities. And he says from Illyricum he starts naming off these cities to Jerusalem and all these places. He says, with mighty signs and wonders, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I have fully preached Christ. Fully preached Christ. I like that. He didn't preach just part of them. He preached the whole Christ, the healing Christ, the miracle Christ, and the saving Christ, and the forgiving Christ, and the peace-giving Christ, the whole Christ, not just part. But through signs, through miracles, he fully preached Christ. So I think we need those manifestations. Turn over to Hebrews 2. There's a good one. So we think about what place do they have? Well, they have a huge place in Christianity in our preaching and teaching the Word of God. And not to say that we're just going to have miracles every single day in every single service, but you know, their proof of the pudding is in the eating. It'd be something if we just prayed for people to be healed all the time and no one ever got healed. It's like giving invitations for salvation. Nobody ever got saved, you know. So for instance, how many of you have ever been saved? Well, obviously, four or five of y'all. Okay, I will give an invitation at the end of this service. You have been saved. See, that's a testimony, to a witness to the truth of the gospel. Now, the truth of the gospel is on its own. I mean, the Bible's true because God says it is, not because you believe it. But since it is true, there will be witnesses to that. That's why our testimony is so powerful. You know, that's one of the most powerful witnesses in a court of law is an eyewitness account. And so here we are, we're eyewitnesses to the truth. They're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen? So we should have some testimonies. We ought to testify. And there should be some healings and miracles and signs and wonders, hallelujah, some victories that take place. It says here, first Hebrews 2, verse 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any times we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward," talking about the law of the Old Testament, "how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation," talking about the new covenant, "which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness with signs," both signs and wonders, "and with many miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." Everybody say, bear witness.
Bear witness.
Wow. So signs and wonders and healings bear witness to the truth. Now, if the disciples needed that, if Jesus did it, needed it, then how much more should the church need that also? We need gifts of the Spirit. We need miracles. We need healings. We need testimonies along with the preaching of the gospel, because that bears witness to the truth. One of the validations of Jesus that you see over and over is his works. In fact, in John, he said, "If you don't believe me, believe the works." In other words, he put credence on what he did. He said, just look at what's going on. The disciples of John came to check him out when John got put into prison to see if he really was the Messiah. And he said, "Well, you go back and tell John, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the blind see. Are you with me?" And the poor had the gospel preached to him. Yep, he's the one. Amen. Acts 2:22 says that Jesus was a man approved of God by mighty signs and wonders, which God did by him. He was approved by signs and wonders. Approved by signs and wonders, which God did by him. Woo! Y'all getting something out of this?
Amen.
That's good stuff. We're just talking about miracles and why miracles. Miracles fix things, okay? We need them because they restore things. They fix things. Miracles meaning healings, miracles. To say we don't need them is to say we don't need to be fixed from time to time. And that's just not the case. Things need to be restored, made whole again. Amen? Miracles testify or witness to the truth of the gospel. So who wouldn't need that? Who wouldn't want more of that? I think of Mark 16:15 says, "He that believes baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe." Okay? "In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And it says this, it goes right on down. It says Jesus ascended up into heaven. And it says, "They went everywhere preaching the gospel, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Confirming the word with signs following. In other words, he put a stamp of approval on it. And that's exactly what you see in Acts. They go through Acts. They healed a lame man at the gate, beautiful. Acts 8, Philip's preaching, and many sick of the palsy were healed, and lame were healed there. Miracles just started taking place along with the preaching of the gospel. Are you with me? Because that confirmed, you know, what was said. Literally in the Greek, where Mark 16:20, where it says the Lord worked with them and confirmed the, working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The word "them" is in italics. That wasn't in the Greek. It was added in. A lot of scripture, a lot of whatever Bible you're reading has that. We have to add words sometimes because the Greek is a different language. And so to make sense of it, they'll put an extra word in it. In the King James, you'll see italics in New King James. It means that was added in to make sense of the sentence. But the problem was it actually took away from the meaning of the sentence. Because God doesn't necessarily work with us and confirm the word with sign following. He works with the word and confirms the word with signs following. Now, if we will preach the word, he will confirm the word. But he doesn't just confirm us. He approves the message. Amen? Woo, that's good stuff. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Oh, yeah, preach it. Okay. So, miracles is when God intervenes. Healing is when God intervenes. You know, if we were in some closed system where God couldn't get in, I got you, there'd be no miracles. But we're more kind of like a fishbowl. And we're fish swimming around down here. And every once in a while, God puts his hand down in there, moves something around, takes it back out. He's God. He made the fish bowl. We're fish with a will, and we're fish that can pray. Are you with me? And it's nothing so weird about that. I mean, God made the fish bowl, made the fish. If he wants to come in there and do something, I guess he can. In our case, he left us the choice of asking him to come help us and calling on him. Amen? And so we're not a closed system. We have this open top at the fish. Top of you fish out here, we can pray. So there's nothing really strange about that or illogical about that. If we believe in God, which we do, we have to believe in miracles. I guess he can move whenever he wants to, especially if we call on him. Amen? And if we call on him, hallelujah. No law's been broken. God hadn't broken his own laws. Miracles don't break his own laws. They don't. What does he break when he makes a hand whole? What does he break when he makes legs walk? What law does he break when he opens up eyes that we're meant to see with to start with? He didn't break any laws. He fixes some that were broken. Get it? Miracles fix things that the intruder has been the devil. If you want to know the case, what's going on here is that sin has allowed the devil to walk in, and through sin has come death, and that's where sickness comes from, and that's where pain comes from, and that's where loss comes from. It doesn't come from God. Depression is not God's will. Peace is God's will. Death is not God's will. Life is God's will. In fact, the last enemy, everybody say enemy. The last enemy to be put underfoot is death. That's what Paul said. Yeah. This thing about you and I dying, and that's what happens. That's why we got those cataracts, incidentally. Because you get older, your body just goes down. The outward man perisheth. The inward man's renewed day by day. Inside, I'm not dying. It's outside of us dying. And we get tired and we get ready to go on, and we'll say, I'm just tired of living. You're not tired of living, you're tired of dying. Come on. You're tired of dying. You're tired of your legs getting weaker. You're tired of having to put more makeup on. I digress. But anyway, I'm going to get in trouble if I keep this up. But in heaven, it won't be that way. We're going to get a body that never grows old. But right now, this body is affected by sin. Did you know that? And it has not been redeemed. It was not born again. Your spirit was born again, but your body wasn't. And so your body's passing away. It's dying. And we're doing everything we can to fix it. Woo, man. And thank God for all the fixes we can get. But we're not going to get that final fix. If Jesus tarries, it's going to die. But we won't. We'll step out of this body like we'll take off a suit of clothes. Go right on into glory. Hallelujah. Woo! And then one day we'll come back and we'll get a new body. Amen. And this corrupt will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up of life. The grave will lose its victory. Sin will lose its sting. Hallelujah. No more makeup. Woo! Glory to God. Put the chiropractor out of business. Do what? Keep all your hair. Where did that come from? Okay. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We will be married 44 years. I'm believing we're going to make it that long. This year, July, but anyway. But aren't you glad that there's a place coming? There's a place we're going to. That we don't have to mess with all that. But here's the deal. We do have to mess with it right now, don't we? That's why we need to pray. That's why we need as many miracles as we can get and healings we can get. We're not going to stop death. We're going to eventually die. But, we can live a good life. We can live a good old life, and he satisfies with a long life, and then we can go on to be with the Lord. We can be like Paul said. He said, I finished my course. I'm ready to go. You can finally get to where you say, okay, I'm not going to go out sick. I'm just going to go out old and die. But I'm going to go out. I'm ready to go. And just lay down and step off into glory. I say this often at funerals. Really what happens is, when you leave here, you're going to get in your car and you're going to go home. And most of y'all, if you have dressed up, will probably, take off the suit or the dressed up clothes when you get home and get comfortable. Some of you will put on pajamas in the middle of the day. You got to love East Texas because Walmart puts out warnings when it gets real cold. They'll say you need to wear two pairs of pajamas when you come today. It's going to be cold today. But when you get home, stay with me. When you get home, you pull in the driveway and you get out of the car. Because you're home, right? When we have that funeral and they make that pass by on that casket, that's just the car they drove around while they were down here. They have now gotten home and they've stepped out of the car. Hallelujah. I like to picture it that way because it's not them. That's just a vehicle. This is not me. This is just a vehicle. And it's wearing out little by little, day by day, you know. The older you get, it'll finally just wear down completely and you'll step out of it and go on into glory. That's what the Bible teaches. Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God. But we will come back and get it at the sound of a trump. The trumpet will sound. Woo! Okay, well, I'll quit. Miracles. That's the why of them. That's the why we need them. And that's what they do. And we sure don't want to quit on them. Come on, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Let's believe for more, not less of them. Let's tone up, not tone down on them. Praise God. Stand up and give the Lord a shout and a hand clap.